ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And we have to understand, there's always been deception in the world ever since sin started in Genesis chapter 3. You know, Satan got Eve to doubt God's Word. Satan got Eve to doubt God's judgment for sin. Satan got Eve to doubt God's goodness. And that's the same doctrines of demons that are continuing to make man into a god and control his destiny. He can do what he pleases. And a lot of these false teachings go right into the church today. How? Because the pastors and leaders in the church deny the word of God. They end up saying what Satan said to Eve in the Garden of Eden. I find this fascinating. Maybe you don't, but I do. Satan said to Eve, "Has God indeed said?" Now, we may change it just a little. It's not exactly what God meant. We have to understand the period of time that this was happening in and where we are today. So we need to change that. No. If my God, your God, knows everything, and yet he couldn't tell me what I needed in the 21st century, then how great is our God? But our God is great, because what he said then is appropriate for us today. We don't deviate from that. If someone says, "Has God indeed said," you say, "Get behind me, Satan," right? Sorry, it may seem harsh, but if you're challenging God's word and you pretend to be a believer, I don't need you. You're wrong. And I fully understand this outside the church with unbelievers, but here the Holy Spirit is warning that this deception is going to cause some to depart from the faith. Some who are in the church, some who these people who look very much like Christians and sound like Christians. One writer said, "A man may hold all the truths of Christianity, yet render them of none effect by holding other doctrines would counteract their influence. Or he may apostatize by denying some essential doctrine, though he bring in nothing heretic or heretical." And that's what we see in the church today. All this garbage, all these doctrines of demons that they're embracing. And how could this happen? Think about this. Put yourself in a room with walls that are papered bright green. Okay, you may not like it, but bright green, okay? You walk into an adjoining room where the walls are green, but the shade is imperceptibly bluer. So you can't even tell. You enter a third room, bluer than the second. Again, the difference is too small to be noticed. After passing through 50 rooms, each slightly bluer than the last, someone hands you a sample of the wallpaper in the room where you started, and you're astonished how green it is. Suddenly you realize that the room you are now in is not green, it's blue. That's how good they are. And it happens as people move away from our Lord, when they move away from his word. The subtle influences edge us away from the truth. And it happens to thousands and thousands of people. They go to legalism or mysticism or asceticism. And at first it may start out so small that you don't even know it, notice it. But years down the road, you look back, "Man, how did I get this far? How did I get this far away from what God has said?" And you could see it today. I mean, how many of you would have thought, I don't know how long you've been a Christian, but 30 years ago in the Christian church, you would see homosexual, transgender pastors. I thought that would be the craziest thing. But over time, as they kept moving away from the word of God, this is where it's led them. And where is it going to be in 5 years, if we're here that long, or 10 years, or 15 years, or 20 years? Can you imagine? If you start going off course just a little bit, if you're traveling a long distance, say 3,000 miles from the East Coast to the West Coast, I think it's 3,000, if you're off just a little bit, by the time you get to your destination, you're going to be way off. And that's what happens. Spurgeon said, "The devil has seldom done a clever thing than hinting to the church that part of their mission is to provide entertainment for the people with a view to winning them." Absolutely. There's a powerful warning that wasn't listened to. You know, it amazes me how pastors and leaders think so horribly of their congregation that they have to entertain them. I shared with you last week, one pastor in California dressed up in Toy Story 4 figures to teach his message. So now we've made the congregation just children that need to be entertained. And how low are we going to go? I'll tell you what, God's word is not that complicated, but it is it's the deepest book that you will never extract everything out of it, but a child can understand. Why can't we? Because we don't want to. It's a choice. People close their ears to what God is saying, and they've closed their ears to the warnings that godly men have given over the years. And thus we moved away from God's word. And they've departed from the faith, the truth of God. They're giving heed to deceiving spirits, and in the process, they're embracing doctrines of demons that they Christianize and pass off as biblical Christianity. And we're seeing it being fulfilled right before our eyes. I mean, look at what the church has done today. You know, Christian yoga. I taught on that years ago. How this is nothing more than an Eastern religion. That you're stimulating the Kundalini force, the serpent force in your spine, and you're bringing it up to your head. Is that really what you want to do? I warned about psychology. Now, I understand there are some psychologists or psychiatrists, people in that field that are godly men and women that are trying to help people. But for the most part, I see them destroy lives. We're going to try this, we're going to try that. See what happens. We have visualization, contemplative prayer, labyrinths, Christian tarot cards, Christian witches, grave sucking, where you lay on a grave of a famous Christian and suck their energy out. I mean, it should seem so obvious to us, right? What is wrong with you people? But they buy into this, and the list can go on and on and on. And that's what Paul is warning Timothy about, the dangerous days he was living in and the dangerous days now that we're living in. It's almost 2,000 years later. How has it played out for us? Well, the danger of apostasy, some will depart. The danger of deception, deceiving spirits. The danger of false teaching, doctrines of demons. And that same idea Jude spoke about, and we covered that, the departure from the faith. And he said, earnestly contend for the faith. Fight for it. Don't give in to these other doctrines of demons. Speak the truth. And understand it's the faith. And you know, I told you when I was in Jude, and I put in my word program, the faith, and they always wanted to take the out and just have faith. No, it's not just faith. It's the faith that has been entrusted to us by God that we are to contend for, but many have walked away from it. Now, I personally do not believe you can lose your salvation or walk away from it after you've been saved. And I think, you know, John tells us in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us. Why? Why did they leave the church? Because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. And he's not saying they went to another church. He's saying they left the faith. They never were of the faith. And that's why they went out. If they were to be remain in the, if they were really truly Christians, they would have remained. They were professors of Christ, not possessors of Christ. And many times people look like Christians. The words they speak sound like they're Christians, but they're pretenders. They've never made that commitment in their lives, and the evidence is seen when they depart from the faith. Now, Jesus spoke about this in Matthew chapter 7, of those who looked like they were Christians, but there was no relationship with Jesus. Oh, haven't we cast out these demons, done many wonders in your name? And what did Jesus say? I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you and now you're walking away from me. He said, I never knew you. There was never that relationship there. You see, the whole idea is if I have to attain a certain righteousness, do certain things to maintain my salvation, I can never know if I'm truly saved. Well, right now, I'm doing pretty good. But let me get off the pulpit and let's see what happens. But Jesus tells us in John chapter 5, and John picks it up on this in 1 John 5, he said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. See, if salvation is based any part on my finished work, I'm in trouble. Because as good as I could be doing now, the next moment I could be doing really bad. And we've all struggled with that. I mean, just try driving when there's snow on the ground. That's a good indicator where we're at. If it's my righteousness and the work of Christ, then it's law and grace. If I need more than Jesus saving me, if I have to attain a certain righteousness, I'm dead because God says all my righteousness is like filthy rags. And the King James cleaned it up. It's worse than that. It's literally filthy menstrual rags. That was the idea. But the King James thought that was bad. I guess I didn't. But it's to drive home the point. That's my righteousness. That's not the bad things I do. That's my righteousness. That's the good things I do compared to who? A holy and righteous God. You know, I think I'm doing pretty good. And there I'm standing before God, pure, holy, completely white. And here I am. I look like a filthy rag before him. So I truly believe that these are pretenders. They're not Christians. They're departing from the truths of God found in the Word of God, but they were never saved. And you look at Judas and Demas. They were not saved. And of the false disciples in John 6, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Wow. They were pretenders. And Judas, think about Judas. How many of the disciples of Jesus thought he was a traitor? None of them did. He looked good. They didn't know he was stealing from the money bag, right? He looked like a good guy, but he wasn't. He was a deceiver. He was a pretender. He was an apostate. Let me share with you how people can have the knowledge of God without a relationship with God or without being saved. At the request of his father, Karl Marx was baptized at 6 years old into the evangelical established church. Marx's adolescent writings exhibited a spirit of Christian devotion and longing for self-sacrifice on behalf of humanity. Later at the University of Berlin, he fell under the influence of a lone lecturer in theology named Bruno Bauer, who was developing the idea that the Christian Gospels were a record not of history, but of human fantasies arising from men's emotional needs, and that Jesus had not been an historical person. Notice what he was teaching. Has God indeed said? This is what it really means. Well, what happened? Well, Marx enrolled in a course of lectures given by Bauer on the prophet Isaiah. And Bauer taught that a new social catastrophe, more tremendous than that of the advent of Christianity, was in the making. Marx would eventually call religion the opiate of the masses. When Marx wrote his book, Das Kapital, he wanted to dedicate it to Charles Darwin. Darwin also was once a theology student and eventually repudiated the Bible and became an agnostic. In other words, they had all the information, guys. It was all head knowledge, though. And it never sank deep into their hearts and became part of their lives. They were never saved. And look at the millions of people destroyed by what Marx not only taught but brought upon the people, and the millions of people that Darwin destroyed by taking God out of creation and making it into a random chance happening, just good luck. This idea in 1 Timothy 4:1, depart from, is to remove oneself from the position originally occupied by another place. They were in the church. They were close to being saved, but they moved away from the saving faith to these doctrines of demons. They weren't struggling to believe. They were abandoning what they had heard. And it's a spiritual battle. And it's only going to intensify as we get closer and closer to the tribulation period. The last days, it's not speaking of a short period of time. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 1, we're told God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. It's a broad term, last days. It began with the first coming of Jesus. It continues on through his second coming. And Jesus talked about it, that deception is a big part of the last days. And Paul warned us of these seducing spirits. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Wow, isn't that amazing? They look like the real thing. They may wear the robes or the coat and the collar or just the coat and come up before the people and preach to them a different gospel, a doctrine of demon. That's how dangerous it is. We are to be on guard. We are to be in the Word, because a lie can travel at the speed of light, and the truth seems to go on foot, doesn't it? And it really does, if you think about it, because that's how we bring the gospel message. We love, you know, we love the big stadiums where it filled 30,000, 50,000 people that we could share the gospel with. Wonderful. But what about that one individual who's walking down the street? What about them? And that's how Jesus did it. Wherever he went, people came to him. And I think the reason so many Christians are susceptible to deception is because they're letting their experience be self-authenticating. What do I mean by that? Well, think of it like this. If the experience is positive and the results are good and beneficial, then the experience must be from God, because they reason the devil doesn't want to do good for us. So if it's a positive experience, the results are good, it's got to be of God. You're going to be in trouble if that's how you're discerning. If sin or false teaching only brought about bad things, no one would buy into it, right? I mean, imagine, I don't know, eating some fruit that was rotten. You know right away it's bad. You're not going to eat it. The devil never starts out that way. You know, it's deceptive. It seems so good. It seems so right. Oh, God must have brought this other woman into my life because he knows the situation I'm in at home. And he brought this woman into my life to make me happy. You know how many Christians buy into that lie? You see, he entices you with something good, just like a worm on a hook for a fish. It looks pretty awesome. I wouldn't bite into a worm, but you know what I mean. And all of a sudden, he takes a bite, and what happens is he's hooked. Don't put yourself in situations that are going to cause you to get hooked. It's just, it's a party. They have a little cocaine, just one sniff. What's the big deal? It's a huge deal, and you're hooked. For some, it's alcohol. One more drink. One more drink. Another. Another, and you're hooked. We got to be careful. People get hooked on false teaching and false doctrine. And we, again, see these lies coming into the church today. And the only way to expose them is by the truth that's found in God's Word. And it's so simple then. You just hold it up to the light of God's Word and exposes if it's true or not. And if it's darkness, it'll be exposed. In fact, Jesus said in John 8, verses 31 and 32, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Wow. John 17, 17. "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." We have to contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us, like Jude warned us. And we see how this has played out in the lives of these false teachers. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. They willingly embrace falsehood to justify their sin or their pride or whatever. If they teach the Bible, they twist the scriptures to support their own ideas and agendas. And if they're saying that if you deny yourself, you'll draw closer to God, that idea of asceticism or denying your physical body to draw close to God has been around for thousands of years. I'll give you an example. In the early centuries of the church, there were monks who went out to desolate desert places to show how spiritual they were by torturing themselves. One never ate cooked food. Another stood all night leaning on a sharp rock so that it was impossible for him to sleep. Another neglected his own body and allowed it to become so dirty that bugs dropped dead from his body. Wow, that had to be pretty bad. They did this because they thought it would win favor with God and show everyone how spiritual they were. If bugs are dropping dead by your presence, take a bath, man. You know, it doesn't draw you closer to God. You can understand why they lived in isolation. No one wanted to be around them. Wow. But think about this. Let's intelligently think about this. Does that cause God to love you more? Oh, thank you for denying yourself and sticking so much you're killing insects. No, not at all. And here's the thing. Listen to what Paul said about God's love for us in Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. This is God's love for us. The other stuff, you're not drawing closer to God by it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There it is. In fact, Paul's listing all these things and he goes, I don't know, any other created thing. If you could think of something else, understand it. It is not going to be able to separate you from the love of Christ because Jesus loves you more than you will ever know. He died for you when you were still a sinner. And now that you're a child of God, do you think he said, well, you know, I don't like you too much today? No, are you kidding? That love, that unconditional love is so rich and so deep. We are his children. He's not going to forsake us. And, you know, you think about this. Look at the legalism in the cults today. You got the Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. They think they're Christian, and they end up teaching doctrines of demons. And when you look at religions today in general, not just Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, look at what they teach about Jesus. They deny his deity. He was a good person. He was a good teacher. He was a prophet. He was a good man. All kinds of things. He was the brother of Lucifer or whatever. He's a lesser God. But they never will tell you that he is Almighty God. Why? Because it is the truth. And the devil will bring you that close with that lie. It's not a million miles away on some of this. It's very close. What about those that call themselves Christians and yet speak against what the Bible's teaching? And, you know, you speak to them, you show them the scripture. Well, look, that doesn't make any sense. Look at what the Bible says. And they ignore it. Why? Because they're not saved and they don't have the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they're not interested in the truth. I believe it's in Jeremiah. If you seek me, you will find me. If you search for me with all your heart. I guarantee you, I don't care who you are and what you have done in your life, if you are not a believer and you are seeking God, God, I need to know that you are real, he will reveal himself to you. But if you're not interested in the truth, he'll let you continue on. That's just the way it is. Their hearts have been hardened. They're cold. They're insensitive to the things of God. In fact, here in 1 Timothy 4, the Greek word for seared speaks of cauterizing, that there's no feeling anymore. Over the last, 35 years, been sticking myself for my blood sugars in my fingers. And you lose some sensation in that because you're deadening the nerves. Someone who gets burned on their fingers, you deaden those nerve cells and you can't feel as much anymore. And so they have this no more feeling right, wrong, no guilt, no remorse. And when you read what abominations are being taught today in the church, what they're promoting, and they're proud of their doctrines of demons they're promoting, they don't see it that way. You know, it seems so obvious to us, right? Why? Why does it so obvious to us? Because we have the Word of God opened up to us by the Spirit of God. That's the only reason. I'll share this with you. It was an interview several years back with Brian McLaren.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.